We've had a time with technology.
Do you get deja vu? We've been here before.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
We're here again.
Yeah.
And by that, we mean we've recorded this episode before, to be very frank. Mm-hmm.
And we recorded this whole episode and we lost it.
We lost it. And sometimes that happens. We've had a whole plethora of problems with our technology, with our tecnologia.
Tecnologia.
we've done some really fun episodes for you guys that required new technology, that really took a lot of pieces of us to set up.
Yeah.
We recorded this episode and we lost it to the pixels of the internet. But we're survivors.
Yeah.
We're stronger than we've ever been right now.
Yeah.
Do you feel strong and powerful?
If you do.
I do.
Okay. Good.
Yeah. I feel really strong and powerful. Look, I've got a cat sitting on my lap. How could you not feel strong and powerful?
Baby is strong and powerful.
She's so strong and powerful. Oh my God. We're here. We're so strong.
Yeah. Strength. You know who else is strong?
Who?
Amy Rose.
Oh. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right. Let's channel her and let's be strong.
We'll channel her.
And let's do it. Again.
Again.
Part two.
Electric Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
Welcome to the Bee and the Berry.
I'm Bee.
And I'm Strawberry.
And this is an irregularly scheduled podcast where we talk about all things Sonic, fandom, and fan creation. And we're here today to talk about the end of What Was Stolen.
A very, very special episode indeed.
Yes. It's so funny to think about how we recorded this episode already and to compare what we talked about versus what we're doing now. I don't even really remember how we introed it, but we're here. We're talking again about the end. We like really said goodbye. We were like, oh, this is the end. And then sometimes it isn't the end. You know, sometimes things aren't done with you. You have to send it off again a second time.
Mm-hmm.
Like sometimes you wave goodbye to somebody at the airport and then they turn around and give you one last look back. And then you're like, oh, let me wave again.
Yeah. Or like when somebody leaves your house and then they're like, oh, wait, actually, I forgot something.
I forgot my jacket. Yeah, actually, wait, it's way more like that. It's way less like wistful and nostalgic than like a wave at the airport and way more like, oh, I left my phone.
Yeah.
I left my laptop charger.
Yeah. So that's what we're channeling. And honestly, we have a question from one of our great pod angels, Kai Zenoman, that I think is fitting for the top of this episode. What are the top three emotions you feel as the story comes to a close? Like, you poured so much of yourself into this story. And Kai would love to know the specific things that you feel as this era of storytelling reaches its conclusion.
Hi, Kai. And this is what the episode is going to be. It's taking questions that you so generously asked us about this monster of a fan fiction.
And also with some spoilers.
Yes. Yeah. We'll try our best to call those out as they come, but listen at your own peril. Mostly, I'm feeling pretty crazy overall, I'll say. I feel really crazy just because there's so much of my life has gone to dreaming about this fanfic. And so it feels pretty wild to think about, you know, living a life without the ability to dream about it. And in that sense, I'm a little, like, I feel a little empty without it, but excited about what will take its place. But I mostly just feel very grateful. Like, I'm so filled with gratitude that it exists in its full form. And I'm really thankful to, like, the version of me that wrote it. I'm thankful to all the versions of me that wrote it, I guess. Mm. Like, I feel like I've lived many years writing it, so I've changed a lot writing it. I'm grateful that it exists. I'm grateful to every single person who read it. I'm grateful to, like, every word on the page. Like, each tiny part of the process and each person who is a part of it, I'm really, really thankful for, because it feels so special. And it wouldn't feel that special without each little person and little piece that made it that way along the way.
for any of our listeners who this may be their first episode with us, how long have you been conceptualizing writing What Was Stolen?
I first attempted to write What Was Stolen in high school. And actually for this episode, I was going to pull out those old chapters, but an older version of me wiped them from the internet. So they don't exist. But I was going to pull them out and read them and embarrass myself. But I tried to write like two chapters in high school and then I couldn't do it. I gave up. And I spent like the next 8 years going to college and getting my degree and like finding my footing in my career and just like dreaming about this on the side. And then finally I started putting pen to paper 3 years ago, I guess. So it's been like 8 to 10 years. I don't know the math specifically, but I know it has been the greater part of 8 years that I've just been like lying in wait to do this. And then... yeah, it's been at least a 2-year process of creating it.
So for anyone listening, if you have a story that is in your heart, you can have it for a very, very long time and take that time to refine it, polish it, level up, you know, in your ability. And that's totally okay. And I think this is a great example of, you know, the reward of taking that time for it.
So true. Yeah, the process is supposed to be really fun because it's fan fiction. It's like supposed to be for you and your joy and no other reason. Because you're not making money off of it. You're not doing anything off of it.
Yeah.
So make it an enjoyable process.
Speaking of which.
Speaking of making money off of it.
Yeah.
Housekeeping questions.
These are our housekeeping questions, aka questions that we have received in multitudes, especially on TikTok and Instagram. For context, B finished writing What Was Stolen actually back in November, October, November, to basically publish, not publish, to print out 5 advanced copies to hand out at Sonic Expo. So it's been finished for a minute. There have been 5+ lucky people who have been able to read it. We just have this release schedule, and a lot of people, because we shared this online, want to know, when are you going to print more copies of the book? Can we buy it?
The sad answer is no, you cannot buy it. I will probably print more copies for friends and family, and we may even print some extra copies and do a giveaway at some point for funsies. No guarantees on that, but you cannot buy the book. I cannot sell you the book. We are never going to sell the book, because the sad reality is that's super illegal and we'll get in trouble and we'll get sued, and I cannot afford a lawsuit, and I also don't want to make any enemies. We're just good, sweet girls. We like to be above the line, and so we can't do that, unfortunately.
Yeah, there is a bit of a difference when it comes to selling fan art, physical fan product versus fan fiction
IP.
I tried to do a little bit of research on this because admittedly it's the legal reasoning is a little bit outside of my like my scope. I think from what I've heard is that many companies will allow fan art and other physical items because they see it as a form of promotion that brings them to the IP. But when you create a fan fiction, it's actually kind of directly competing with the product, which is the Sonic characters and their stories that Sega would be putting out. And so, like, you know, it is like, I want to make it very clear that the copies that were handed out at Sonic Expo were not sold in any capacity. No money was taken. Like, we paid for those out of pocket.
Yeah.
Purely to connect
for fun
with the fans. Yeah. And we're so grateful for the support. But, like, we logistically, like, we cannot sell fan fiction. And I also want to make it clear in case anyone saw that and is like, oh wow, like I could sell my fan fiction someday.
Don't do it. Don't risk a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Don't do it. You have the book for free on AO3. So,
and also please let us know if you do see it for sale, because that's not us.
Yeah, and we'll go put a stop to it.
Yeah. Other question that we received, housekeeping question, Will you be able to make the story available in Spanish or in Portuguese or other languages?
This is another I wish a question. Like, if I had all the time and the money in the world, I would do this in a heartbeat. And it is in my heart of hearts to make this story available in at least Spanish. But the act of translation is like a big enough undertaking in itself just to like make sure it's translated correctly, like in a way that is true to the writing. Let alone a project this massive requires actual intensive work that I would want to pay somebody to do, like to honor the amount of work it would take to translate something like this. And that is just like hobby money I don't have to throw around right now. So maybe one day I would really like for that to happen, but not in the near future. So don't look out for it. But no, I would, in my intention, I would like to.
Yeah, it's just, it's not as simple as just throwing it into a translator because, like, you know, there is, like, phrasing and poetry in that language that, you know, maybe you would want to take advantage of. That just wouldn't be, you know, it's not a one-to-one thing, unfortunately.
Yeah, and I want to be able to pay human beings for their work.
Yeah, but we are very grateful for the global support of this story. Like, thank you to all of the readers and listeners from Latin America, from Europe, from Asia, from everywhere. Like, so that's so, like, it's so hard to fathom.
When I get a comment in a different language and I have to go Google Translate, I'm like, wow, you're really doing the work to read this story, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, now that housekeeping is taken care of,
thank you for bearing with us.
Yeah, we can get into your questions, which are questions that have been submitted through YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, Blue Sky, Twitter, and Tumblr. So thank you guys so much for sending in your questions. We did get some kind of repeat questions across platforms, but you know, we picked as many as we could. We got a lot. You guys really left us spoiled for choice.
Yeah, thank you.
So our first question is from Crater Labs. Was there a moment when you realized that this fan fiction was more of a thing than other fan fictions out there? Or was it more a case of just actively deciding to make it a thing?
This is one of those questions that I hate to have to answer again because it makes me uncomfortable. Not like you asking the question, just the idea of my fan fiction being a thing or like more of a thing, because I just consider my fan fiction like a fan fiction. And the reason why it feels like a thing or it might be more of a thing, you know, as you say, it's just because like it feels so corny or pretentious to say, but like that's just how I approach projects. You know, my job in my daily life is to help people make their project be the best it can possibly be. Like, there is no doing anything halfway for me. And so I just simply cannot put anything out without being completely diligent, 100% intentional, and like fully wholehearted about what I'm putting out. So I don't think it was the choice to do it or even starting it with the intention of like making it a novel that's gonna take the fandom by storm, or I didn't start out with the intention of making it anything other than this is gonna be the novel that I've been hoping to write for the last 8 years. And that to me means making something as good as I could possibly make it, because that's just how I like to operate.
Well, I think it speaks to the discipline that you have, because, you know, when you're making fan fiction, like, people are coming from anywhere. Like, some people are just like, I'm just looking to get words on a page. But I think there is something to be said about a discipline of putting something down and having the courage to reread it and punch it up. Like, that was something that took me a while to do. But like, I think it just speaks to you as a person of like, okay, like, there is a drive that you can't fake passion.
I really, really didn't want to start something and not finish it.
Yeah.
And that was like but that was my want and desire even from the jump. Even like I didn't know how long and big it was going to be when I started it, but as it got bigger and longer, like the want at my core was always, but I am going to finish this mm-hmm. because I owe it to my young self to finish this thing that she's been dreaming about for 8 years. And then also at some point, a lot of people started looking at it mm-hmm. and it also became, I owe it to them to finish. So that also played a part into it, was just like this feeling of responsibility to my younger self. And then eventually to the people who read it is just like, well, now I cannot let this go unfinished, unseen all the way to the end. So, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Creator Labs.
Next question's from Anonymous on Tumblr. B, you mentioned basing Shadow's character on the Broody Knight archetype that I suppose you based on your own encounters in your personal readings or media consumption. I was wondering for both of you what other books or media have inspired you in your writing, if any, and in what way.
I watch a lot of medieval content, and I watch a lot of Robin Hood content. I've always loved Robin Hood as a character. He's one of my favorites, so that was really part of the conceit and something that I'm always like watching and thinking about. I think particularly like the romanticism of the era and of the archetypes really speaks to me, and even just like the romanticism of a lot of writing, like in a, like a slice of life in mm-hmm. in any genre. Like there's a tonality to romanticizing moments that I think I really latch on to, that I like to find, like really honing in on one moment in time and blowing it up. Like this is the moment where everything feels like it's coming together, or it's swirling around mm-hmm. me, or it's things are shifting or changing. Like this is the crux of everything. I feel like you could see that a lot in What Was Stolen. But in terms of specific things, I don't know if I have specific media to shout out. I would just say in everything that you read, write, or watch, always be writing down the things that speak to you. Like, I have running lists of, like, character dictionaries, or, like, somebody will, like, use a word in a TV show I'm watching, and I'll just be like, oh, that's such a great word. I don't want to forget that word, and I'll write that word down. Or I'll be like, driving or walking, and I'll like see something and I'll be like struck by a phrase and I'll just write that down. I don't know, I think just keeping up with your own inspirations as they come instead of counting on yourself to remember what you like mm-hmm. Is a good way to cultivate your tone or writing style. Straub?
Yeah, I also like, even outside of like things, like I know like the magical girl genre has really influenced me. I was a very big magical girl consumer, especially like back in middle school and stuff, and that really stuck with me. Sailor Moon, Cardcaptors, Mermaid Melody, but also like, you know, even things that are not necessarily as narratively driven, or you know, not necessarily TV or film, like, you know, music is such a like big part of like my story that I constantly take inspiration from. Like music, certain songs like really inspire me, they inform a scene for me, and I'd like to say that I listen to a wide, you know, variety of stuff. I think that's just like so important, even like musical theater, in the sense that like when I did theater back in high school and college, you know, a lot of the work that was done was very focused on being character driven and character motivated. Like how do you convey the desires that like what your character wants, and that's just kind of a philosophy that I've kind of internalized to inform my own writing. So like I also am just very pro like making mood boards. And sometimes like you need to like look up certain words or aesthetics, I don't know, like to be able to research mm-hmm. it.
Resources.
Yeah, yeah, resources. References. But like, yeah, I think in general the main theme here seems to be like consume things, but consume like a wide variety of stuff. It's mm-hmm. very easy to kind of get pigeonholed into one thing. And so I encourage anyone, if it's like you want to make, you know, new Sonic media and whatnot, like, go engage with something that isn't Sonic, and you'll actually be surprised at how much it can inspire you to create a really awesome piece of work.
Yeah, and leave yourself a paper trail so that you can find that inspiration again when you need it. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you. Next question's from Mr. DC7, hey, another bud. Pod angel.
Yes.
The cover art made by Rat Riot / Palooza for What Was Stolen is both beautiful and wonderfully made. Speaking of which, when you were writing down the story, did you imagine the art style for your characters looking like that cover art? Because I personally imagined the Sonic storybook art style while reading it.
Yeah, huge, major shout out to Palooza.
Oh.
When we're talking about this fanfiction becoming a thing, I had no part in that. Sometimes somebody wonderful discovers your fanfiction and decides they want to take it and do something with it. And that is like a pure act of random wonderfulness from the fandom and like this mutual cycle of inspiration. Like, that is nothing I had control over, just an incredible gift that I am so grateful to have received. Truly will never forget when that first batch of images dropped, and also just the wonderful friendship I've been able to have with them since. Yeah, just those images are really, really everything to me. Kind of one of the most precious things one of the most precious things I own, to be honest.
They're literally on her walls, guys.
Yeah, they are.
It's like amazing.
I like the Sonic storybooks art style. And actually, I mean, like, you know, Sonic and the Black Knight, like the image of Sonic in the gold armor, the idea of like Shadow in the Knight armor really gets me going. Really gets me going. Even like Blaze in the Knight armor, like those ideas have always stuck with me for sure. Those images have always stuck with me. In terms of like the actual Sonic canon styles, they're all a little bit cartoony when I imagined it. And to be honest, when I set out writing it, I didn't really imagine a visual style. I just picture moments, and I really kind of picture them, I don't know, almost more humanoid than not when I'm picturing a scene. And the crazy thing about Palooza's art is what they did is just translate my writing into something that I didn't know was exactly what I was picturing.
Yeah.
The story actually feels like it has like a more mature edge to it. Gets dances with darker themes. Obviously they're all adults, they're all dealing with relationships that border on adult. I think there's like a maturity to the builds of the characters that Palooza has designed, to their expressions, to the shapes, and then also like a beautiful, you know, old parchmenty, paintery, watercolor, like dark dappledness to Palooza's style that like really honors the setting. It's just fantastic. I don't picture it any other way anymore. I really don't.
Like, it truly was just like the perfect storm. Like it's like the crossover event of the century.
It's actually crazy, and it's why I'm just like so grateful and I cherish it so much.
Yeah. And I mean, again, like when like people will see like something that is crafted with care and love and passion, and it will inspire others. Like that is really just the key to inspiration.
Yeah, I have been the recipient of so much amazing fan art, and I can't begin to tell you how much that has made this process a delight, and like how much that will change your day, week, month. It's just actually, and even like a comment, I mean, the mutual engagement is just everything. So thank you for that.
Yes, thank you, Mr. DC7.
Thank you, Mr. DC7.
Next question is from Eve.
Eve.
Pod Angel.
Eve, baby.
Did you always know how you wanted the story to end when you first started writing it? Did any of the plot deviate from what you initially planned in the story's first conception?
This is so exciting.
And this is probably most definitely going to be a spoiler question.
Spoilers. Oh, guys, here's some tea. This is going to be so exciting for you. Everybody get really excited. tea. Mm. So I always knew the story was going to, this was never going to be a war story. I needed it to, this can't drag on forever. This isn't Game of Thrones. There's not a season two. You know, we're not going to have the tournament that's going to end in this great clash. And then there's book two and it's going to be a war. We're not doing ACOTAR. We're not doing that. So this tournament, you know, it's going to wrap up. There was always going to be the fights with Shadow. There's going to be the fights with Scourge. She was never going to fight Shadow. It was always going to be an emotional confrontation with them in the ring where she is like lost in memory and can't move, is like frozen in memory. And he like starts running and like in an instant his heart changes and he like falls to his knees. And it's just this great moment of coming together, reconciliation. It was always going to be that mm-hmm. for them. And then, of course, there was always going to be this big fight, a fake out moment of Poison Death. And spoiler. And then, you know, this big, you know, the denouement. Everybody gets what they want. There's like a tentative coming together of a father and daughter that will never see eye to eye, but will have to shake hands in order to, you know, save themselves. Yeah, so there's always going to be that. It's just like the general tournament arc. The thing that I didn't really know was the details. Obviously, you can't just have two fights in a tournament. And, you know, what's Sonic doing? How is she getting in the tournament? What's the coronation, the council of accession, the final moment, the wedding? Like, what are the little details that are mm-hmm. happening? Those are things you discover as your story becomes more detailed and you realize, like, oh, I have to close that loop. I have to close that loop. I have to close that loop. And what ended up happening was, originally, there was going to be, the third fight was going to be a Jet fight. There was going to be only three fights, and Jet was going to have a bigger cameo. And I was going to be like, okay, we'll just, you know, bring in another Sonic character. We'll have him have a fight. That fight was going to be a good fight, an interesting fight, a hard fight, but it wasn't going to have as much of an emotional bend to it. Around the same time, Palooza picked me up. So too did Crest, a great friend, Suave Gorilla.
Shout out to Crest for real.
Shout out to Crest. You can go find his work on AO3. He has written so much incredible work. Extremely prolific writer. Very impressive. And Crest is so great. He's just like an endless sounding board.
Yeah.
An endless ideas guy. And what he ended up doing was asking me if he could write a spinoff story. And I said, yeah, well, if you like the story enough, you want to write a spinoff story, be my guest, go right ahead. And so he's actually been sitting on this multi-chaptered spinoff story for like a year at this point, because he wrote way faster than I ever could. I'm very slow. And it's not a story about Sonic and Amy. I won't say too much, but he pulled a bunch of these minuscule, teeny, like barely even got a name side Archie characters and pulled them into this great group and like sent them on this quest in his story and gave them all such incredible character arcs and stories and character traits. And I was reading his story as we went along because he was letting me read it just to make sure, you know, nothing was getting weird as we were writing our worlds. And I was just reading what he was writing and being so inspired by it and thinking about how can I take these characters that I have come to love from his story and drop the hints that they exist in this world and also use them because they're here. Like, that character in his story is a high-ranking lord. Like, why wouldn't he be invited to the Tournament of Champions, let alone the ball? Like, why wouldn't that happen? So a lot of the tournament and, like, Amy using the name and like Reginald Highsong and Tex of the Badlands and Cyril the Eel, like a lot of these guys are people you may see in the spinoff, and are there purely because Crest was kind enough to write them so well. Yeah. And so it was really, really cool because I didn't realize that there was so much more detail that the ending could have had. And this like whole Tex fight and this whole Reginald fight, like it was just, those two fights are really important, I think, for her journey, for like the things she discovers about herself and what she demonstrates to the kingdom. And those were never going to exist. They couldn't have existed until Crest wrote his story.
Yeah.
So very, very cool.
Yeah. Also, I mean, the other big thing, like, you know, Sonic and Amy's ending too, that I remember, you know, this was like, I want to say a year and a half ago when you had told me, you never intended on them getting married.
Yes, they were never going to get married. Yes, that's right. That was also part of the ending. Sorry if at this point I haven't released the last chapter, so I don't know if people are pissed at me. And people have been pissed at me for a few choices that I've made. Sorry, they were not going to get married. I just don't see that happening for them after what they've been through. I think they still have a lot of settling post-trauma to do, and I think that they're really content to just, like, be together.
Yeah, like, take it slow.
Like, I think existing and being alive without at the same stakes. Time without the stakes is more than enough for them right now. I wanted the symbolic moment. I planted these rings, you know. I wanted them to exchange those rings and have that symbolic moment of, like, here we are, we're committed. But yeah, the wedding was never going to happen. What I did want, mm-hmm. and this is where, and Straub's, again, she was such an angel. She saved my life. This was it was such a crazy time writing the ending of this story, because I had a deadline to get this thing published before we went to Expo.
Printed.
And I had done, like, 3 straight days of being up till, like, 3 a.m. I had done 2 weeks of just, like, getting home and writing, and I was trying to sprint to the end, and every day I was texting you, like, yeah. I have another 3 pages. I went back through 33. Like, yeah. Read that again. Like, blah, blah. And she would just, like, text me back and, like, or send me voice messages and be like, hey, I had an idea. Like, what if you put that ring on Scourge? And yeah. I was like, oh, my God. And especially, like, The Scourge assassination attempt, like, originally happened out in the open, and she was like, what if you move it in the tunnels? Like, there was a lot of finagling of those mm-hmm, final moments mm-hmm. that was like, how do you make this the most impactful thing and also make it make logistical sense? Like, if it happens out in the open, when yeah. people react, if it blah, 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 blah. But the Sonic and Amy moment that she's most proud of is the fake out wedding. She got you all.
Yeah.
Blame her. For tricking you.
Well, no, actually, you should be thanking me that you have a wedding.
At all. Because I did want to do a fake out. I wanted to open, you know, the doors open and Amy's walking down the aisle and Sonic is waiting there and he's like, oh my gosh, she's so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. Like, I did want that moment. I originally thought, oh, it'll happen at the coronation, because that's the big moment, right? That's the thing we've mm-hmm, all been waiting mm-hmm. for, is to see her crown the queen. The only problem with that is the timing was never going to work, because you can't be crowned the queen until the king dies.
Yeah.
And so that was going to be like 15 to 20 years in the future. Like, the timing just wasn't going to work. So I wanted the moment, which is why the accession council naming of the heir thing happened. But that wasn't quite big enough. And so Silver and Blaze wedding happened. Yeah. And that was the perfect stand-in, because it's one-to-one. We're walking mm-hmm. down the aisle. Mm-hmm. You're at the end of the aisle. You're nervous because the bride is coming.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. Well, also, too, because, like, you know, it is a little bit earlier on in the story, but Blaze and Silver have just this, like, really beautiful story together. Mm-hmm. And I was also just, like, it's an opportunity to see where they end up, too. I mean, like, mm-hmm. you know, part of the reason, like, the whole reason that, like, Amy and Sonic had that deal was because, like, Silver was imprisoned.
They're very integral to so many of the side mm-hmm. plots. Blaze is the executor of, like, Amy's most important moment, which is her putting on that armor,
yes,
for the first time and feeling like herself. Like, Blaze is the author of Amy freeing herself.
Yeah,
she built like the key that freed her from the cage, right? Mm-hmm. Really important character.
Yeah. So I was just like, man, like, I just was like, yeah, Sylvie's wedding. Yeah, I just yeah. felt like that was so fitting. And also, you know, to have, like, a moment where this whole story is just, like, high stakes, mm-hmm. life and death, mm-hmm. imprisonment stakes. And, you know, I think it is really important for us to see a moment where the characters don't, like, they can breathe.
It's really nice to end on also, like, kind of a mundane high note. Like, mm-hmm. it's not that we're ending on the coronation and the whole town is celebrating. We're ending on this small group of friends getting together in, like, a corner of the kingdom celebrating happiness.
Yeah.
Like, the people who made it to the finish line to get only because they did it together get to, like, look around the table of all these people who made that happen and be like, Ah, yeah. Yes. Thank God.
I think the biggest lesson, and I would think for both of us, is that, like, you know, it really takes, you know, a good little village of people mm-hmm. when you have a lot of dominoes, you have laid out a lot of dominoes mm-hmm. in the story, effectively writing an ending.
So hard.
It is going to require a bit of vulnerability on your part
yeah.
to be like, okay, like, I have some ideas, but I need to, you know, really get some more feedback on, like, what am I missing mm-hmm. that I could, you know, like, I remember, like, those drafts, because I remember you're like, oh, it's so bad. And
it's
I'm like,
so
listen,
so bad.
For the record, like, she'll be like, it's so bad. Everything that I wrote that was kind of like a first draft of hers, it wasn't bad. It was just like, okay, this is the skeleton and we need to add mm-hmm. shit in. And so, like, it was like a very rewarding feeling to, like, be part of that process. I'm very honored that you had
me
be part of that process.
I don't open my robe for anybody else. I keep that shit wrapped up tight. I was so embarrassed. I literally texted her, like, every time I text her, I'd be like, oh my God, I'm so embarrassed. Don't look at it. Don't look at me. But somebody had to, because we were rocketing towards that deadline.
Yeah, and I was like,
somebody
it's okay, baby
it.
Girl.
Yeah, somebody had to see it.
Yeah.
It's so true that writing the ending felt like the most vulnerable part of this whole process, and I think that's why there was that major stall in between, like, you know, those last mm-hmm. five chapters. One, I was just really busy, crazy busy mm-hmm. and two, it just feels like a complete brick wall to think about approaching the ending of something that I have been dreaming about for this long, that so many people were looking forward to, that is this big at this point. Like, I've made this piece of rock so big, and like to even begin to chip at it just felt like I don't think I can do that, honestly. Yeah. But it's true that I could not have done it without Straub and without Crest and without Pell's art and without, like, all the people who had commented and who mm-hmm. had wanted this and who had, like, encouraged me through their interest, like, literally every single one of you. I couldn't have done it without you. So it's extremely hard to end something.
Yeah.
Even just, like, literally to decide what is the last sentence of this thing. And is that good enough to end this? That's extremely hard.
Yeah.
And I'm still not, in the same way that I'm actually still not convinced What Was Stolen is the best title for this piece, I'm not convinced What Was Stolen is the best last line for this piece either. What Was Stolen was supposed to be a placeholder title. So, you know, but we did it. I made it to the end. So
yeah, you did that shit, dude.
Thanks for that.
No, thank you. You did that. Thanks. That's all you. I mean, you know, it's kind of like the image of, like, you know, in, like, the marathon or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, the person coming in.
Yeah.
Arm over their shoulder.
For real.
Bringing them, like.
For real.
You know, and I, again, that's something of this magnitude.
Yeah.
Is just so, like, there's just been, like, so many people mm-hmm. in your corner.
Yeah.
Just, like.
Even Mr. B, I keep,
the fights.
Yeah, I kept saying, like, another thing that made this really hard is, and I keep saying, like, never let me do a big, you know, final set piece where it's just one fight scene after the next, because I hated that shit. I hated writing those fight scenes. It was so difficult. Kudos to anybody whose favorite thing, or who the thing they think they're, like, best at is fight scene writing. I struggled so hard with those fight scenes. And my husband is a security guard, and he was in the military, and he choreographed all of those fight scenes. I was just like, what do you think a person does next when this happens? And he'd be like, well, what if he stabs her in the leg? And then what if he kicks her in that leg? And then what if they, like, go to, I was like, oh, this is great. This is great.
No, shout out to Mr. Moose.
Yeah, Mr. the Moose, Mr. Trevor.
Mr. B the Moose.
Hey, Trevor.
Hey, Trevor. thank you, Eve.
Anything else we need to say about that was great.
I mean, did we talk about the rings, scourge rings?
That was another great idea from Straub. There was a version of the end where Amy was a little bit angrier at Scourge when he was dying, and all throughout the fight, and I think that version still stands, But it didn't feel quite as satisfying because it didn't feel like they were able to separate themselves from each other. Mm-hmm. And there was also not, there was something, you know, she was in such dire straits in the fight, and there had to be a reason that she was able to, like, pull herself together and get him off of her mm-hmm. and come back swinging. And obviously Sonic is there. He can yell for her. That is a great motivator. The truth of that is she is in a stadium of people, like, in full adrenaline
like
mode.
Gabriella.
Yeah, exactly.
Try! And now I can hardly breathe. Oh,
you can do it. Just know that I've been... Yeah, that. No, it, that's a lot. Like, that's kind of a lot for that moment, right? And it, so the shorthand for that was, Straub was like, well, what, why don't you bring the engagement ring back? Like, why yeah. don't you have the engagement
like,
ring on him?
Like, wouldn't Scourge still have that
yeah,
ring?
Yeah, and you're like, the impetus was like, when he's dying, wouldn't he still have that ring? Like, why bring it out? And I was like, oh my gosh, she should see that in the fight. And that's why she goes after him. Because the other question you had is like, why is Shadow letting her get 2 feet near that man? Why is she going after him? Mm-hmm. Why are they even getting close enough for this, like, final assassination attempt? And I was like, well, she just, like, can't let this end, you know? Like, she has to, like, they have to be done with each other one way or another. But the ring is the physical embodiment of that being true. And so it's like, oh, I cannot let you leave with that. And once that is off or away from you, that yeah. means our bond is dissolved. Mm-hmm. And so her seeing that in the fight gives her a reason to track him down, to get him off of her,
yeah.
to end this, to keep going, to lunge for it, and then also to, like, take that off of him and, you know, destroy it and, like, make it a final moment.
Well, you're gonna have her yank it off of
him. I did have her yank it off of him, and then you were like, that seems a little violent. And yeah. I was like, fair enough. I also thought that, but also, he's such a piece of shit.
No, for sure.
But it's great, because I have such a runner of these, like, tokens, these rings on chains. They're everywhere. Shadow has one.
Mm-hmm.
Not a ring, but it is a token on a chain.
Yeah.
She's just handing out these rings for these men to wear. Yeah. Willy freaking nilly.
Ah, what a queen.
Yeah.
Thank you, eBay.
Thank you, eBay.
Next question. Also from Anonymous on Tumblr. You mentioned you thought of your fic while driving to work. Can only imagine, like, you wrote it after coming back from work. As someone who recently started a job and wants to be creative, how do you still have the energy to be creative after getting mentally drained?
Mm-hmm. For me, it's thinking ahead and then reminding myself of what I want to accomplish. So when I'm sitting at work, I'll have driven in, I'll have had this incredible brainstorming session while driving to work, and then I'll work all day and be like, oh, remember how, you know, when I was driving while I was working all day, I was just sitting there thinking, like, oh my god, I could write this amazing scene, I could get all this done, blah, blah, blah. And then when I finally get home, I'm like, oh, but I just want to play games or whatever. I just, like, harken back to that feeling and try to summon that and be like, okay, well, write a little bit so you can honor that feeling. Because remember how amazing that feeling was? Just thinking, like, what if I put down this awesome mm-hmm. thing and make that feeling manifest for a little bit, and then you can go play your game. Or just, like, same thing, knowing I have Saturday free and being like, oh, I can spend all this time dreaming. And I know I have Saturday free. I know that when I get to Saturday, I'm going to want to do nothing. I'm saving all of this right now, and I am telling myself right now, I'm allotting my energy. I'm going to go to my favorite coffee shop on Saturday, mm-hmm. and I'm dedicating, like, noon to four to putting down something, anything, that's going to honor all this, these ideas that I had.
And, like, you yeah. know, just get, like, just get it down on paper, and mm-hmm. then you can make it better later.
Literally. I never stop and go back and edit. I, like, write straight through until the chapter is done, and then sometimes I'll go back through the chapter and edit, but, like, I don't stop and start. Otherwise, I'll get stuck, and I'll be like, oh, this is so bad, and I won't want to keep going on that. I'll be like, oh, here's the moment I see, here's the time I see, go, 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 go. Don't look back.
Mm-hmm.
Put down a bullet point right there if you can't get past, like, and then she walks to the counter and pours yeah. herself a glass of tea. And then Sonic comes, like,
yeah.
move past that if that's not helpful, and get to the moment that you want to write, and then go back and fill in the blank space. Just keep moving, I think. is the way I did it.
I'm very pro, like, bullet points, and, like, it's okay for the bullet points to be the driest, like, you know, you're just getting down the actions, and then maybe a little bit of dialogue if you have an idea of what the characters say, and then, like, because I think the, at least for me, when I write, like, you just need to have, like, the clearest picture of the scene in your head as possible, and sometimes you need those bullet points to be like, okay, but how did it get from point A to point B? And so, like, things like that. But other thing to mention with, like, you know, creating while having a work-life balance is that, like, we also have jobs where, like, we are able to have a little bit of time. And I just know that that's not everyone's reality. And, you know, to that I say, like, of course, do what you need to do in order to feel your best and to balance your life. But if you have an idea that is, like, really, really special and amazing, it's like, you know, you, again, find that fuel in the times when you have, like, a moment and just be like, okay, I'm getting it down.
Yes.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you.
Also from Anonymous, hi there, love your work. Regarding Shadow and Amy, was their relationship ever going to be romantic during the writing process, barely pushing past the threshold beyond platonic, more complicated or simpler? I was rooting for them in the beginning, but I adore them even more, how their relationship has developed as the story progressed.
Thankfully you asked this. I really wanted to talk about them because I really, really like them and they're really important to me. And I always meant for them to be platonic. Everything I wrote for them was through a platonic lens, even though it feels like a very, it can feel and could feel and is totally valid if your interpretation is this, because your interpretation is completely valid, like a romantic relationship. I find it extremely important in my writing to explore every facet of love, because I find so many types of it completely transformational and transcendental. Like, my love bond with my siblings is, like, something beyond what I can put into words, versus what my love bond with my best friend is, versus what my love bond with my husband is. And every single one of them is so foundational to who I am and really important to honor, that I also wanted to put in this story this idea for the two of them, like this exploration that they are truly incompatible without each other, especially because the archetype of, like, loyal knight and princess, it's foundational to each other, right? And I feel like Shadow and Amy are foundational to each other. Like, Shadow as a character can't really exist without this, like, positive, upbeat girl character transforming the way he sees the world. So to me, it was really, really important to write this romance, because it is a romance. It's a platonic romance that feels as important, as weighty, as world-changing as Sonic and Amy's, like, a completely romantic relationship. It was always gonna end in this chapter where they don't have this fight, and I really like that chapter. I really stand by that chapter.
No, I think I agree with you, like, with how when you just have that friend that you can, like, confide to about anything, and, like, you know, like, the friend that's, like, you're growing up old together.
But, like, lots of people would say, like, yeah, if we're not married by 40, let's, like, just get platonically married. Or, like, oh, yeah, you know, we're, like, soul bonded. Like, we're gonna live together forever. Like, there's just, like, my older sibling has, like, a platonic life partner. Yeah. And will forever. Like, it's just, there are people you know who live like that with their friends.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends that I have known since I was 7 years old, and I'm now 25. And, like, they are, like, if anything were to happen, like, they would be one of the first people that I would call. And I know vice versa. So just, like, that's, like, I think it's beautiful to see, like, Shadow and Amy having this connection that's like, it's not like romance, but it's just this deep, deep understanding of each other and being in each other's corner.
Yeah. And it was always supposed to be that complicated because Shadow is complicated. He, especially at the beginning, he's coming from this place of convincing himself that he is so distant and he doesn't care. But truly, he cares maybe the most. And he wants to see her succeed. And he also wants to see her safe and cared for her whole life because he does care because they are so important to each other. And like him rejecting that, him rejecting the hurt he feels when he is left behind in her life because he had to go.
Yeah.
And then, like, coming to terms with, like, I felt wronged, and I lashed out, and that's my responsibility, and she apologized, and, like, all we can do is, like, come together again and acknowledge that we can't live like this. We just can't. We can't live like this. I can't live without being your friend.
Yeah.
I can't live without being your chancellor, your right hand. Ugh. It was an interesting experience, though, the chapter. But I like it. It's one of my favorites, and I really like them.
No, that, I don't know, like, I had an inkling, but, like, when I, like, read it, I was like, you know what? Like, this feels right. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, like, it was definitely, like, you know, maybe not what people expected, but I absolutely think that the chapter after was, like, more than filling of the excitement.
I didn't tell you that that's what was going to happen because I wanted your raw reaction.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was going to be interesting to people as a choice. I was hoping I had planted enough seeds, but that chapter in particular was the scariest one to release, and I, like, had this true... like, in my brain before I released it, I was like, this is the one. I'm afraid of disappointing people all the time anyway, but that was the one, like, I released it and I went to bed and I was like, if people are disappointed by this, I'll be sad because I really like this chapter, I really like this choice, and I believe in it. And I woke up the next morning and the very first comment I had gotten on AO3 started with, I find this disappointing. And then yada 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 yada, and it was a good exercise because I was like, oh well, the worst thing I imagined could happen happened, and I'm still alive, and it's okay. And in the same way that, like, my interpretation of my story stands and is valid, and also, like, shows that there's ways I could have written this better to make people understand, like, the bend of their relationship better. This person's interpretation of this moment is also totally valid, and we're both going to survive for having read this, and you feeling disappointed and me feeling disappointed that you're disappointed.
I think the only thing that, like, when I read it that I was like, okay, like, adjust this a little bit was, like, you had basically Shadow run, and then there's this big plume of dust.
Yes.
And then everyone in the audience sees that he has knelt.
Yes.
And, like, I think my note was, like, articulate it a little more so that way people can see,
yeah,
like, the moment of confusion.
Yeah, you said add in, like, the helmet dropping sound. Like, you said add the needle drop, essentially. Like, add the thunk, the falling out of the thing, and that was right. That was good.
So, I don't know. I thought it was a great chapter.
It was a really good learning experience. It was a good exercising experience, and, like, letting go of, like, well, it's okay.
Yeah.
It's okay. You feel how you feel, and I'm not gonna die because of it, and I can still feel happy.
Yeah. Proud. Thank you, Anonymous.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Last longer question before we get into our rapid fires. Hi, I love What Was Stolen. Did you have any favorite scenes or chapters to write? And who was your favorite character to write in the story?
So many.
By Pika Blue. Did I say that?
No, you didn't.
Okay. This is from Pika Blue. I'm sorry, Pika Blue.
A lot. I mean, I could go, like, through in order. I really liked all the early flirting. I liked the, like, I really liked the early, like, knife slipping off the belt scenes. Like, that, those are some really spicy moments.
Knuckles in the tree.
I loved when she met the guys and Knuckles punched down the tree just to try and intimidate her. He's such a poser. I really like every scene with Amy and Shadow, like that moment where he's about to leave and she like thanks him and he like grabs her hand and kisses it and he's like, don't thank me, we haven't won anything yet, like mm-hmm. stop. It's like always trying to temper her expectations, but she's just so happy. I really love the Scourge Charmy Sonic confrontation where he's like beating up Charmy and then Sonic steps in. I love any time he's beating Sonic up. I love when he stabs Sonic through the hand. I love the scene when he tasks Sonic with kidnapping Amy, and at the same time Amy is trying on the armor for the first time, and these two scenes kind of run parallel with each other. I really like the alcove scene. And I can never not shout out that whole scene because they're so mad at each other and it's so dark and he's in her room for the first time and he like pins her against the door and he's like, shut up. Yeah. She's like, don't be mad at me, this is your fault. And then they're running through the castle and then they're in the alcove and he's like, wait, why are you so hot? But like literally,
when did you get hot?
And Strauss left me so many funny comments. She left me several. One that made me laugh again recently because I was going through the most recent chapter. One was in the alcove because they were sort of losing their shit at each other in the alcove.
Yeah.
And she wrote a comment that was like, Sonic, my brother, like, get a hold of yourself.
Like, it was like, my brother, Sonic, pull yourself together.
Get a grip, my guy. And then there was another one in the most recent chapter when Sonic and Knuckles and Tails and Amy are all, they're like talking and chatting and like, they're going through like, what do you want now that we've made it through this? And I forget what Amy says, but she's essentially like, well, you know, like, well, you saved my life. Or like, do I need to remind you that like, you saved my life? And Knuckles says like, we all saved your life. Like, hey, we all saved your life, okay? And Straub's comment was like, I think we all sing. Like that meme from Victorious.
Oh my god.
Tori. We all sing.
Yeah.
I think we all saved your life, okay? I really like there's this moment when Shadow and Sonic are having their confrontation in the woods when Sonic, and I really like the moment. The tent scene, Amy with Scourge in the tent when he chokes her with the rope. Oh my god. And she chokes him. Oh my god. I really like, and I like when she drags, I like everything about the ball scene. I like when she drags Sonic through the woods and she emerges in the camp and she sees Knuckles and Tails and they grab her and she's like, what the fuck?
Ah! There's like, in that scene, like, there's this moment that, like, I is so, like, visceral and it stands out to me and I don't think enough people register this moment, but like Amy pulling the arrow out of Sonic's shoulder, like, because that was Shadow that shot
him.
Like Amy pulling that out, visceral. Also, and I actually forgot about it yesterday when we recorded the first time, when Amy finds out that Knuckles looks like Sirlock in the library.
Yeah.
Like, that was such a, like, big moment. Because, you know, there's the thing of, like, have we met before? And, like, I just thought that, like, it, like, you know, yes, shout out, like, Sonic and Amy. Shout out Shadow and Amy. But Knuckles and Amy also have a really special relationship.
Do.
And so do, like, Tails and Amy. Yeah. But, like, the whole thing with, like, Sir Locke and Duty and, like, you know, being reminded of her mom who is no longer with us. Just, like, the ways in which, like, Knuckles really, like, he played, like, all of these characters, I think you did such a great job of having everyone play, like, a very meaningful role, and it's like not like a one-time thing, it's like all of these characters do like have a good few moments where they just like uplift Amy because they believe in her and they believe in what she can do.
Knuckles was always going to be her true second, actually. And it was very fun to write this Sonic Shadow who's the second, knowing that it was always going to be Knuckles. And I think that hit. I think people were really like, oh, like when the voice sounded out, I thought like, oh, it's Shadow and he's turned, like he's made his choices, changed. No, it was always going to be Knuckles. And yeah, I really enjoyed writing Knuckles in this story. Sleeper hit. I love the conversation they had when she discovered it and she sat down. She was like, so like, here's this. And turns out like we have like, we've been connected through space and time by our parents. But there's this moment where I just see this so much in my head, where Sonic and Shadow are facing off in the woods.
Oh.
And it's like Shadow is over Sonic and Sonic is still hurt and he's like on the ground and Shadow is over him and Tails is
in the bushes
with the arrow. And I can see the triangulation of the three of them so well. I just love that image.
Ugh.
There's so many. I mean everything. Otherwise, I wouldn't have written it. Everything. I could name so many more.
But thank you so much, Pika Blue. And all right, these are gonna be rapid fire questions because we've already hit like the hour mark.
Yeah.
So next one from Melodrama. Would love to know if you had a specific playlist for this fic or any songs you listen to in mind for certain scenes, or any songs for Sonic and Amy.
There is a playlist for this fanfiction. It was made by me and also Palooza. And you can find it in
Spotify.
Yes, you can find it on Spotify. You can just search What Was Stolen, or it's linked in the first chapter of the fanfic on AO3. It's also around on the Be and the Berry
link
socials. Yeah. Or my Blue Sky. Go through that playlist. There are certainly Sonic and Amy scenes and themes. It's in order of the fanfic, the songs. So I don't know, you give it a listen, Melodrama, and you tell me which ones you're pairing with what scenes. And for them, there's like some Thieves songs, there's some Knuckles and Sonic songs, there's some Shadow songs. Like, you listen, you tell me.
All right, next question from Emma. Are there any moments or scenes that didn't make it in the final cut that you want to share?
I didn't super cut really anything, to be honest. Obviously, there was maybe going to be a version where there was a jet fight. There was maybe going to be a version where after that first kiss happened, Sonic stayed the night. Ooh. Spicy. Son Amy spicy. Ooh. But that felt like a lot. Considering where they were. And I really, the process was not so much like I needed to cut things away. It was more like when I got to a moment, I was like, oh no, I need to add more to support this moment. So there wasn't really anything that like majorly got chopped. It was more adding than it was subtracting.
Thank you, Emma. This question is from Anonymous. Do you think redemption could have been possible for Scourge if he wasn't dead?
Short answer, no. I don't. I think that he's the type of guy who thrives on other people's misery. I think it's really fun for him. I think that he like lives to see people suffer.
Yeah. I mean, this guy, you know, he abused so many people.
Yeah.
Abused children, frankly. That like, even if there was some sort of path to redemption, I don't think it would have taken basically its own book, and I really don't think it would have been with Amy or anyone. No. It would have been like an exile thing.
100%. And like, people won't change unless they want to change. And yeah. I really don't see Scourge being the person who wants to change unless, yes, something crazy, like something that fucked his brain chemistry up in an insane degree changed. Or there's somebody that isn't Amy. I don't know. I think there's like a world out there, and that's an interesting story, but not this one. Certainly not this one. I don't think redemption was possible for him.
Thank you, Anonymous. Next one from Toonie VA. In making this fic, what were some parts of the world building you wish to expand upon more that you haven't?
None. I don't like world building. I've left a lot of the world building really soft for a reason. I didn't want to get bogged down in the world building. And actually, Crest's spinoff has a lot more interesting infrastructure to it. So go read that. I really recommend. I think there's a version of this where like I dive into the magic of it all a little bit more. Like, why can Amy call a weapon? Why can Sonic run fast? Like, what do Chaos and Gaia have to do with it? Like, is there magic? Is there sorcery? Like, are there warlocks and wizards? Like, I could see this having more of a fantasy bend than just like a street medieval bend, which I think it does right now. But that is a little more in the weeds than I want to get for something like this, which is really just focused on these relationships and this one woman and her journey to changing the world.
Yeah. And I think the story is more effective for it. Mm-hmm. I think the only thing that I remember when I had first read it and I was talking to you about was like the war that Shadow had run to. Mm-hmm. And like, oh, like, is this the war that, like, you know, has afflicted Tex, for example? But
yeah,
you know, I think, again, like, some things you gotta keep really tight and focused,
yeah,
in order to like make a story exciting, or else, like, yeah, it's just gonna be a lot of info,
right? Well, and I had written Shadow goes on this occupation before Tex of the Badlands even existed. So, but if you want to hear more about the Badlands, go read Crest's fan fiction. Yeah, very interesting. A very interesting world.
Thank you.
Thank you, Toonie EVA.
Our next and final question from Anonymous. Do you plan on writing any more Sonami related content when this is done?
So glad you asked this. I'm so glad that it's our last question, because I am really happy to get to take this time to tell you that no, I am not. And this is it. And we're done. And that's a wrap on me. Period.
Yeah, this is actually
my last podcast.
Yeah.
It's just gonna be the Barry from now on.
Yeah.
No, I am gonna write more Sonami related content. I'm definitely gonna write more Sonami related content. Everything I have planned is Sonami related. Every single thing. I have a fic that I'm like have in mind that has like a pretty distinct love triangle, explicitly romantic relationship between Sonami and Shadami, and that's gonna be like, but still Sonami at the end, and then another Sonami idea that's like very, that one is very deep in my heart, and then I really, really, really want to turn this into an audio book. I want it, and I'm working on it, and yeah. I want to turn it into an audiobook.
How many pages did you, when you, like, because you were, I was watching B over her shoulder, I was stalking her, as she's like,
freak,
yeah, I'm such a freak like that, you know, as she's like putting like all the like dialogue into like a Word doc, and I see it's like 32 pages.
It's already 30 pages. So I'm putting right now, I'm putting just the dialogue from the characters into script format, and I'm on chapter 6, and it's already, yeah, like 35 pages. But I think it would be such a fun thing to be able to give this to you guys as like a fully voice acted audiobook.
Yeah.
I think, or and like with also some like sound engineering, like with some like light music and light stuff, like I just think it would be a really, really fun, and I really want to do it, and I know it's a big undertaking, but I dream big, what can I say?
Yeah, literally. She's like telling me this, I'm like on the couch, she's in the kitchen, and she's like, I want to do like an audio drama, and I'm like, and girl, like, you're like, I remember you're like,
do you understand?
Yeah, like I remember 2 years ago when you said that you were gonna finish What Was Stolen by December.
Life happens.
Yeah, life happens.
It's hard when I speak something, it means it's, I have to do it.
Yeah,
I don't do anything halfway,
but for the record, I do think it can happen.
I do too.
Yeah, I absolutely believe that it can happen.
Yeah, so maybe keep a lookout. Keep a lookout that we might be announcing voice actor auditions. Ooh. Maybe.
And we might be announcing merch too.
Should I do it? Should I announce some merch? There's a merch. You can't buy the book, but you can buy some What Was Stolen bookmarks. At the at my Etsy shop called The Embroider Beehive, at The Embroider Beehive on Etsy, where I sell custom made embroidered shirts which have like Sonic characters and like flowers and stuff on them, which are very cute. I also made a couple of two What Was Stolen bookmarks that you can get in a set. They're super cute, they're reasonably priced, and they're designed by my brother, who is a recent graduated art student. They have beautiful designs on them, and on the front they're gold foil, they're very fancy, they have tassels. One of them just has the title, What Was Stolen, and then one of them says, I read all of What Was Stolen and all I got was this lousy bookmark. So if you want bookmarks,
yeah,
they're very cute, no pressure, but I just thought it'd be fun to commemorate the moment. Yeah. So, yeah,
your brother who also designed the book sleeve.
Yeah, my brother who helped put together the paperback edition and will also help put together the sleeve for the hardcover, and has also like did the invitation like forever ago when it was time for the ball arc of the book. Wonderful person.
Yeah.
Yeah, so go look at that. Be on the lookout for other things I'm up to. The Bee and the Berry is still here, even though it's time to, it doesn't feel like saying goodbye to the story. It feels like saying hello to the full thing. Like
the
like,
new era.
Yeah. Like I've seen this person from afar as just like a figure. And like now I can finally tap them on the shoulder and be like, oh, that's what you look like. Hello. Yeah. Like, nice to meet you. You're the story. Go out there and exist for the rest of time, I guess, like for people from 20 years from now to discover when they watch the Sonic movie 25 and they're like, oh, I love these characters, maybe I'll go look on AO3 and discover this. It's very cool. So
yeah, like I fully believe that there's going to be a What Was Stolen renaissance now that like that little check mark completed box has been checked on AO3, and because you know the crowd of people who only read completed works are gonna find it. And
never
of course
me, but
yeah,
I respect
no it's
it.
Me
really you only read completed works?
Oh no, sorry, I think I got confused.
No, I do not. I'll read a dead dove. I'll read an unfinished girl.
it depends. But like, you know, I fully believe that, you know, share what was stolen with everyone. This is me influencing you. Mm-hmm. I think it's gonna be exciting.
Yeah,
we have fun stuff planned for
we
this
do
podcast.
Have fun stuff, so keep a lookout for that. And I just want to say again, thank you so much. The dedication on the book, if you never get to see it because it's just in the print version, is to you who loved the story so well. So if that is you, thank you. The book is dedicated to you. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
And I'm so proud of you.
Wow.
It's been such a journey.
That's crazy. I feel sad but ready to let her go. Like our hands are like slowly parting, like, oh, our fingers are lingering and we're letting each other go as like she gets on the boat and goes away to college or the next journey or whatever. But
yeah,
I love her and I wish her well.
Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Yep.
And supporting.
Yep.
It means the world, because like B is like literally like one of my best friends ever.
Mm,
and I'm
babe.
Just like happy
I
that
can do
people
it without
are
you.
Giving her flowers.
Oh my god.
So I hope that, you know, you guys enjoy it as much as I have, because I also feel like I have been holding in a little secret for months and months.
I love that you got to read it first, though. You deserve it. Naked version.
Oh my god. It's okay, babe.
So yeah, thanks guys so much. We'll see you in the next episode. And as we always say at the end of every episode of The Bee and the Berry,
it may not be canon,
but
it is correct.
Ciao! This one's gonna stick.